Synthaholics, it's the Rad Tribal Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading our show. Today, we've got myself, Aaron O'Brien, we've got David Duncan, and we have our special guest, Captain Foley from Trek Yards. Hello, Captain.
Welcome.
Okay. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Welcome aboard.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
I'm the emergency co-host hologram. Pleased to meet you.
So we're talking Picard, Broken to Pieces. This is the eighth episode in this first season.
And they talk about an eight octonary star system. I wonder how that came to be.
So before we get into full spoilers, let's just talk about just quick impressions about just this episode. What are we feeling? How are we liking this episode itself? Dave, do you want to go first?
Sure. This was good. I don't think it was as good as Nepenthe, or whatever the last episode was called, episode 7. This one was still pretty good. I enjoyed it. Holograms are fun. And I don't know, it's hard to talk about this episode without spoilers, just because like all the pieces start coming together this episode, finally.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can't really say anything. It was good. I enjoyed it. I got a sneaky feeling that the next two episodes are going to have too much going on, and it's going to feel rushed, a la Discovery, because everything's coming to a head, and there's not a lot of time left. How about you, Stuart?
Well, I really enjoyed the last three episodes. I thought they've been pretty good. The show's finally got that Star Trek feeling.
finally.
It's good to see Picard kind of being Picard. I really enjoyed this episode, actually. And the fact that we got to learn more about, well, this is spoiler free, so never mind. We'll talk about that in a minute. We got to talk about a character, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But at least it's moving along, finally.
Yeah, it is moving along, and I feel like it's when you're putting together a puzzle, and then finally the pieces come together where you can finally see it take shape. You know what? Yeah. You're getting closer now. Like, okay, I'm getting it now. That's what I felt like this episode was. It's probably not the most fantastic episode, but it definitely filled in all the gaps that we were looking for before. So, because I remember last episode, there was a lot of questions about certain things. So these answered in some of those questions. So that is your spoiler-free segment. If you haven't seen Broken Pieces, you can pause the show, go watch it, and come on back. If not, if you like spoilers or if you've already seen it, keep on listening. So
keep on rolling.
Keep on rolling. So Broken Pieces, like I said, this is season one of Star Trek Picard, episode 8, and it aired March 12th, 2020. We start off, we finally get the answer for Commodore O. She is with the Romulans of the Zod Vash, and they are with...
on Vashti. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're on Nerissa Rizzo, the sister of Narek. Yeah, the incest sister, and apparently Auntie Ramda the Romulan.
Ramda the Romulan. It just rolls off the tongue still to this day. You know.
So apparently she's their aunt, and they're on this planet called, is it Aya? It's called the Grief World, apparently.
Yes.
And they look like
a
witch's...
How much grief would it be to drag eight stars together and not have them destroy the planet?
We ran it down, bitches. Yeah, I know. They look like a witch's coven.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And
there's no dudes in the Zod Vash?
I still insist if they're a witch's coven, they should have been doing that skyclad. I don't know if you know what skyclad means, but
yeah.
I like naked.
I can get down with skyclad.
Skyclad. Cool. We need some more of that stuff on the show for sure.
So there's, instead of skyclad, they have something called the Admonition, which is this weird circular electronic table thing.
It's like a it's like a see-through well. There's it's got a border, but you can see through it and you can look down and it's like there's water sort of, I guess.
Apparently this is the initiation to the Zadvash. So they're basically saying when you touch this or interact with this device, it's going to, be so severe that you might not even survive. And this
I'm out. Check, please.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I need to be in a secret organization that bad.
Well, this is how you join the Illuminati. So
it's like let's kill half the people that are interested in helping us out just right away.
It's like 80% of the people trying to help you.
We keep on losing members this way.
Yeah, not a great recruitment.
See, this is the Romulan version of Pon Farr. Vulcans just breed themselves out of existence by never fucking, and then the Romulans just kill themselves by touching a ring.
Well, it evens out. Society, so yeah, I don't know.
Well, you got to recruit a lot of people if you only have 20% retention from the initiation.
That's true.
Burying lots of bodies. That's why it's the grief world, because they're just like the part they didn't show is all the graves of all the thousands and millions of Zadvash that didn't make it.
So apparently the admonition, this device that was left there, is from some ancient aliens from 200,000 years ago. So, and this is a long dead civilization that left some kind of warning that obviously the Zadvash or the Romulans at some point had found.
Did the sphere shit this out?
I don't know. Maybe. So when they touch this, the Zadvash coven, they all see terrible images of the future of
data,
synthetic life forms, and basically destruction of planets and worlds and people.
And the same old tired fox that keeps decomposing over and over and over again. That poor fox.
The one in the Nine Inch Nails video. I know, right? It's the first Google image that comes up when you look that up, by the way.
It's
I didn't even put that together. Thank you.
It is the most overused decomposing fox video ever.
Yep.
That poor undignified fox.
That's hilarious. And after this, they touch this thing and they get these visions. Some can't hack it. It's one lady smashing her head with a rock. Other one puts a disruptor to her head. So they're all just going nuts. The only ones that survived.
The incest sister starts making out with her aunt.
No, that doesn't happen. So Nerissa Rizzo
is the weirdness.
She's seen the horrors of Narek's penis, so she's all right.
Well, this is 14 years ago. Maybe she wasn't into it then. Now she is. After she touched the ring.
So Nerissa survives and Ramda the Romulan, her auntie Ramda, lives, and they somehow are able to process it. So, and then, Commodore O is like, well, now you know what to do kind of thing. So, and then they're going to go to Mars and do
get your ass to Mars.
What Rafi said that was what happened. So this is an inside job with the Romulans. So
So not only are they killing themselves by touching the damn ring, they're killing themselves by destroying Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Romulans don't have their marbles all in the same sack, I don't think.
Well, again, this is an extreme organization within the Romulans. So
it's going to wipe out all life. But yeah, let's condemn our race to die.
So 14 years later on the Borg Cube artifact, we get Nerissa is now with Ramda. She's obviously in her hospital bed and she's trying to comfort her. I don't know, talk to her because she needs to, take action. And she wants to get rid of this Soji. So this is what she's trying to make right with her aunt. So, and she obviously has a connection with her. I don't know if we're going to see Ramda again, but I feel like she has something to play in this in the future. I don't know why they keep showing her. So
maybe she's the destroyer.
Maybe she is. So, so they are then go to find Elnor, who's still hiding on the cube, that he is in Hugh's office. And this is where 7 and 9 shows up, blowing away Romulan guards or Centurions, and she's going to start driving the cube. So it's that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I love that she drives the cube and she kind of plugs herself in a little bit. Every time they show Seven in Star Trek Picard, they always do a callback to her first episode. So in the first episode, we saw Seven this time. Her ship gets blown up, and in the first episode, her cube got blown up, and then also they also suck out all of the Borg out of Voyager, and then they blow out all the Borg on this cube.
Yeah. So
lots of parallels for Seven.
She's seen this play before. Then we jump to Picard on Rio with Rios, and Picard had just beamed aboard Rios' ship, and he's with Soji, and Rios sees her, and he's kind of like out of it, like he's like,
"Where's beautiful flower?"
So he wants to go to Deep Space 12, and he wants to lay in a course, and so Rios is like, yeah, sure, okay, and he fucks off. And basically, that's we know something's up with Rios. We're not really sure yet, but that's what's happening with him by seeing Soji. Then from there, we get to the point where Picard is talking to Rafi, and she's like, "You just went and did all this craziness, and you don't know if Soji's worth dealing with. Like, we don't know anything about her. You just decided to do this crazy." Rescue mission, and you don't know anything about her. You know, is she a good person or whatever? So, and on top of that, we find out that Agnes Girardi, Dr. Girardi, is a Romulan spy, and that she had killed, they now know that she killed Bruce Maddox, and she had a tracking device within her as well.
I don't understand why this took so long. Go ahead, Stuart.
I wouldn't say she's a Romulan spy. Commodore O is just using her, so I mean, I don't think she's necessarily working for the Romulan.
She's an operative, let's put it that way. She's
unwilling operative, yeah.
I just
don't understand why the hologram didn't come forward with this information until he's asked. Shouldn't he forth with this information up front?
At least he finally said something. I was happy about that.
Yeah, I was wondering when that was going to happen.
Did Bruce Maddox die accidentally? No, he didn't. Why didn't you? And they didn't.
She
even
turned
ask
off
him.
The breathing machine.
She turned it off. I had nothing to do with it.
I take no part in this.
I just wanted to do a C-3PO prissy moment.
That would be funny. On the sick bay, then Picard is talking to Girardi, and basically he gets talks to her, saying basically that she said that Commodore O put this thing in her head that, of the destruction of the whole world or universe or whatever. And she felt that she had to kill Maddox, and she had to, this is why she decided to work along with Commodore O for all that. So, and then we get Soji walks in, and this is the first time that, Agnes sees Soji, so they have like a moment together where she's kind of marveling at her.
Do you sleep?
Yeah.
Do you eat?
Do you
drink? Yeah.
Do you drink?
What happens when you get horny, Soji? It's the one thing she didn't ask.
Girl,
I sleep with Romulans who want to kill me. That's what I know.
Yes, exactly. That's what gets her off.
Well, it's just weird that she's like amazed that she dreams and goes to sleep. Data dreamed and went to sleep eventually.
Yeah. Well, you know, she seems far more advanced in some aspects than Data. So, then Picard makes a call to Admiral Clancy, and she swears at him again.
Tom Clancy, damn it.
And she just like loves dropping the F-bomb all the time.
Like, she cannot be on screen and not say fuck. It's in her contract.
It'd be hilarious if it wasn't in the script and she just keeps throwing it in there.
She must be related to Will Wheaton.
So, get off the bridge, Wesley. She just basically saying, yes, I get it. You know,
you can have a fleet now, a whole fleet, not just a ship.
Yeah, so we have this a big speech from Picard, and she's like, "Yeah, I get it, I get it. You got the fleet. We're bringing it over to DS-12." So back from there, we get to Raffi is talking to the navigator Enoch, and he's basically
she thinks he's the Rios.
Yeah, for a second, which is stupid because it's like it's not even close to Rios. And so basically, she starts talking to him about Soji, and that he refers to her as Janna. So, and she's like, "Well, that's kind of weird." Like, he's like, "This is somebody that he met before." And then she asked him to identify a symbol, and he said that there's an eight planet solar system with eight stars, which she said would be incredibly difficult, like the gravitational, that they would actually work together. And so this is obviously, he would think it would be constructed other than naturally occurring. So that's interesting.
Yeah, just personally, I've only ever heard of a trinary star system that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't think of anything more than three.
Mm-hmm. And then even Raffi brings up that this is has something to do with the Conclave of Eight, which she believed was behind the attack on Mars. So she's making these connections now. And then on the Borg Cube artifact, Nerissa's there with her guards, and she is basically trying to stop Elnor and Seven. And they're in the. They get to the Queen's chamber, and this is where Seven starts getting ready to hook up to the Borg cube. And this is where Nerissa just blows them all out.
It's just weird. I thought Seven was in control of the Borg cube at this point. She's literally plugged into it. I don't know why she'd let that happen.
I'm assuming.
Thing.
Huh?
I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah,
just control. Like, why not take care of that?
Why not just shut the hit the off button, hit the close button? It's like, okay, I'm plugged in. Just will it be closed? Although it was awesome seeing all the little like nanites come out and start building the ship again. That was pretty cool. Seeing like a ship going from that from the previous Next Gen episode where it just kind of unmelted. They just like played a plastic model melting backwards.
Well, not just that. I mean, just when they blow out all those Borg. I mean, I know they're just Borg and I shouldn't feel anything, but I felt kind of bad.
I think you feel bad because Seven like plugged herself in when she didn't really want to because she had to, and then all of her people went away. But she should have been able to shut the door. I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you actually feel Borg in this, and I like that. I like that you feel, you know, something for the Borg. I thought that's great.
Yeah, because normally I'd be like, "Yeah, good." So that is a change in. I mean, I guess these last couple episodes, especially with Hugh bringing back the Borgs, made me feel empathy for them. So back on the Las Riendas, we get Picard and Soji are eating, and they start talking about each other, and basically she's saying that she doesn't have anything inside her, she has no history, everything's made up, and Picard says, "You do have a history, it's there for you to claim," and then he starts talking to her about Data, and they have this back and forth about Data, and how she asks him, "How do you think Data would feel about Picard?" And he lists off some things as, you know, he'd hope to think. And then she thinks, yes, you know, Data did care for you. He did have feelings for you. So
Data loves you. This I know. Soji told me so.
Four of my engrams told me so. Yeah.
So, then we go back to, Raffi tries to talk to all the engineering hologram, and he's basically Scotty at this point, and trying to get information, and it seems like he gets blocked by some of the things there. So there's some kind of programming that's blocking him from telling her everything that she needs to know. So this is where she thinks that she might get everyone together, all the different holograms that seem to try to piece everything together. So And she tries to get a drink from where Mr. Hospitality comes and tells her she can't. She deactivated all her alcohol things on her for the replicator. So she's got to stay dry.
She's off her bender.
Yes, she is. And
she's always better when she's on her bender.
Rios's captain cabin. He's drunk and he's going through his old chest of the USS Majad Ibn Majad. You guys did a video of that just recently.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he's going through all the stuff and he's basically looking at old photographs and looking at the effects that he's kept. So
he's looking very fondly at beautiful flower.
Yeah, and then there's a picture or drawing, should I say, of Soji. So, and this is obviously then back on the Borg Cube artifact. She, like I said, she's trying to take control of the Borg Cube. So, and
she gets a couple Borg that are still not sucked out into space, and they try to jump what's her face, the incest sister, but she gets emergency beams out. Why didn't they just assimilate her?
I wish they were.
They were XBs. They were the ones that weren't connected.
Oh, I know, but XBs. It would have been great if they ripped her to pieces.
Well, I mean, Seven still had her tubules because they used them.
Tubules. A couple of ways. Her Maybe she got tubules. Them removed. Boob tubules.
Boob tubules. No, Borg tubules.
Boobules.
Boobules.
And then. Back with Picard, Raffi is put together all the Rios's holographic versions of themselves, and she's trying to get all the different pieces of Rio back together and trying to figure out, because it's like a puzzle, and some of them want to work with her and others could care less, but they seem like there's she finds out that this Janna, who looks like Soji, was something that he recognized that they've met before. And this is where they think that she thinks that there's something more with that story. But also she finds out that Rios's old captain, Vandermeer, he committed suicide. And they were like, wow, that's pretty crazy. So it's she can't get on any of all those information. It's all classified. But she needs to, they're basically, you should go talk to Rios about all this. So from there we get Rios is in his quarters. And she comes to him, gives him coffee. Kind of similar to how he took care of her when she was a mess.
I thought she was going to try to get booze from his cabin.
You drank everything, you asshole. Mm-hmm. So we find out something called a Black Flag Directive. And this is from Starfleet Security. So once they ran into the Janna ship, the beautiful flower, they were obviously synths, and they decided, because they got the Black Flag Directive, that his captain was supposed to eliminate them. So that's when he did, and he felt so terrible about it, he ended up shooting himself. And all the records were deleted afterward. Well, and so Rios had to clean it all up.
Admiral O said that they would have his whole... Commodore O. Said that she'd have the whole ship destroyed if he didn't do what she said.
Right, exactly. So, that's, again, we're seeing Starfleet, acting underhanded. And we don't know the reasons why yet, but... Sure, yeah, but still, we're getting, Black Flag Directives and stuff like that, so, I've never heard of Black Flag Directive before.
They're a Jad Vash initiative that are brought in the Federation.
Yeah, I guess so. So she gets that whole story kind of straightened out from Rio. So now she knows what's happening there. And then from there, they're going to head out to. Well, they're going to go to Starbase 12, but this is where Soji decides that she's going to take the ship and do something different, because they basically realize that if they go back to Starbase 12, they're probably going to be met with some other subversive agents within Starfleet. And this is where she's going to take the ship to her home planet.
Must go to planet of Android.
Yeah, so they're going to take off from there. And, you know, Rafi feels, I imagine she feels vindicated because she finds out that basically that attack on Mars did have a connection with the Tal Shiar and the Romulans. So, and so there was, she wasn't crazy all along. And, you know, she doesn't rub it in Picard's face, but Picard sort of is like, yeah,
you're right. Oh, but maybe she could rub it in her son's face. Oh, yeah. Divorce that Romulan whore.
Jesus. Yeah, he married her just to be pissed off mom.
Exactly. I'll have to hate my own granddaughter because she's Romulan.
Yeah, but Soji takes over the La Hacienda, or La Hacienda, and...
La Serena.
La Quinta.
Just remember Siren, because he has the mermaid tattoo. So it's the Siren, so La Serena. Oh.
Oh, Serena, nice. Yes. So they take off. She takes off stealing the ship, and Rios is pretty pissed off with her, and they have a bit of a conflict there. But they decide that they're going to let her go forward, but she wants to take a Borg conduit to jump there really quickly. So Rios helps her through that. And then we have a comical moment where Picard acts like he's going to do it, and he goes, "I don't know what I'm doing." So it's kind of funny, actually. So, and then on the artifact,
they did Scotty, they make him look like an idiot. Kind of didn't like that.
It's kind of funny because it's not his thing. It's like, I get that. It's probably a ship has got a whole new interface than he's used to.
He hasn't used the con since the Verity.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So from there, the Borg cube, the Romulan fleet, was all surrounding it, seems to all take off at once. They, like you said, they get rid of, they beam up Nerissa before she's torn apart. And this is where Seven basically, detaches from that. So,
Like, are you going to assimilate me now?
Yeah, exactly. So
she should, because he needs a lot more knowledge. He might get a little more street cred with some nanites in his head.
And then we have just a quiet moment with Picard and Rios, and he's talking about when he was, younger. He was on the USS Reliant, and I was on night watch on the ship, and he felt like he was the only one awake, and he realizes how much he still loves being on the ships and doing what they're doing. So, and they talk a little bit about Rios's old captain, Vandermeer, and that he didn't feel that he was like crazy or did anything. He thought he was a fine officer and that he was a good man, and that something else must have been there to what made him do what he did. So maybe making Rios feel a little better of the memory of his captain, because we find out also that Rios really looked up as him as a father figure.
And he was basically let go from Starfleet like 6 months after his captain committed suicide for psychiatric issues.
Yes, exactly. So then we go to their planet. So and they're coming into the system, and they're.
They go through a Borg transconduit.
Well, I mentioned that before. They go through the conduit and they make it there. So, but unfortunately, we also see that looks like Narek was somehow hiding in there himself.
He was using a Viridian condom. So Soji's got it in her bloodstream.
So that's where the episode ends. A lot happened. Like I said, a lot of things got filled in. Stuart, since you're a guest, what did you think about all this after we've been filled in with all these little bits of details and how the story has progressed?
Well, like I said, it was great to see more of Rios and his holograms and actually get that backstory. But it made me wonder, what would Picard have done in TNG if he had got a directive from Starfleet saying, oh, you got to kill these synthetic you just met or destroy the Enterprise? Like, how would that have played out?
Yeah, I don't think it would have.
Exactly. I mean, what's with this captain? He's kind of a pussy, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Overall, I really enjoyed the episode. But it did have its issues, of course, but there was a lot of good stuff in there, for sure.
Yeah. My thing was, first of all, like, the big thing was Commodore O was, like, the big question. Like, last episode, we just kept asking, like, how does Commodore O know what happened in the future? Like, how does all this? So this got all filled in with the Zod Vash, and that she's actually part of the Zod Vash, and they have this step on that planet. They have the admonition, like, warning, whatever technology. So there's something there. But it's funny. It's funny too, because Picard talks and say, you know, what happened 200,000 years ago doesn't mean what's going to happen now. It's like, we have, you know, so much more than they had. You know, we have, you know, curiosity, and we have, you know, everything about us that's, you know, supposed to be great about Starfleet. So I felt that was a great speech from Picard at the very end with Rios.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, the Iconians lived way back then, and the Iconians could get anywhere they wanted to just by stepping through a doorway.
I know. But my point only being is that this is like, he felt like we're better than this. And that's what you want to hear. This is fucking Star Trek. That's my thing about this stuff. It's like, you know, I always make the joke, or the thing is like, they're heroes. This is why you read a Superman comic. It's not because Superman can do all those great things. It means that he's been faced with an impossible situation and he'll find a way to fix it. You know, that's what's make it great. That's what makes heroes great, and that's what makes Picard better than most. Is like, you're like, yeah, he gets it. It's more than just, you know, let's live in fear and let's be terrified of everything. So
yeah, yeah, it's great to see the hope starting to drip back in a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah, not everything has to be so dark and bleak all the time. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the last few episodes, that kind of the way we start our reviews of those is like, I went to watch an episode of Picard and a Star Trek episode broke out. It was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's finally been, the last episode especially really felt like Star Trek, episode 7. Then episode 8, still pretty Star Trek-y, which is really nice.
Yeah.
I also felt that Dr. Girardi kind of like coming to and coming clean, that felt good, because now we can go forward with her character a little bit. We're not going to see her.
I don't want to murder anymore.
I won't kill you. I promise. So that was great. And then of course, Rafi,
that's almost like, I like science.
No, I mean, well, yeah, I guess a little bit, but I think I like science is worse. So I'm sorry.
They're both pretty bad. I'm not going to murder anymore. Congratulations, doctor.
And of course, for me too, you know, Rafi comforting Rios and talking to him and talking to him, I felt that was a great thing, because, you know, she's returning the favor in a way, how he helped her. So I like that.
It's great to actually like Rafi. Like, I haven't liked her character until this episode. I mean, now that she's sober and she's actually got some Starfleet kind of mentality about her, I think it's great.
Yeah, and, you know, now we've got filled in all the details of what's happened with her. So, obviously, you know, she found these the ties for the Conclave of Eight and the Tal Shiar and the attack of Mars. She's trying. She probably was like these, like, conspiracy theorists, and they're just like, oh, my God, this happened. And then nobody believes her, and she's, you know, is completely estranged from her family, and Starfleet kicks her out, all this stuff. And she's got nowhere to go, so she's just a big hot mess. And now we're finally understanding what happened with her. And then lastly for me was pretty cool was Seven taking over the Borg cube for a minute.
So cool.
I would be cool if she flew that damn thing around. So
I'm hoping she'll warp it in after them, like, as backup, since
That would be kick ass if that happens.
Like, if she comes and saves the day in the next episode, because, like, the Federation fleet and the Romulans are kind of coming after Picard. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, yeah, Commodore, I mean, Miss Tom Clancy, she wants to maybe help Picard, but with O's influence, I mean, they could just be like turning under her nose because Clancy obviously doesn't know that
O's a spy. Picard didn't tell her about Commodore O.
I think he might have off screen, especially after they decided not to go to Deep Space 12.
Yeah.
I think he might have. We just didn't see it.
I mean, I hope so, because that's kind of important.
Kind of a lot.
But she's also head of Starfleet Security, and we don't know, because Section 31 got fucked over in Discovery so bad, we don't know if she's also in charge of Section 31, how much crossover there is, because Discovery ruined Section 31 by, making everyone know about them and them not be secret. So, I don't understand how Section 31 works anymore. I don't know if they're secret like they were in Deep Space Nine, or if all the top brass knows about them like in Discovery. So, I mean, Commodore O could be in charge of Section 31. So, regardless of, Tom Clancy knowing, she won't be able to do anything if she's kind of got Section 31 under her thumb and them not knowing any better, That's frightening.
Yeah. For them. They definitely the new writing staff definitely have a lot of spy cloak and dagger shit going on more often than usual, I think. But Dave, what about you?
This episode was really good. We're finally starting to get answers, and the thing that kind of I'm confused about is that they've been calling Soji the Destroyer ever since the previews came out before the show aired, and because you always had the Destroyer angle in the preview, and then in this episode they're like, nah, it's like this. They said they compared it to Zefram Cochrane. Once you break a threshold, some alien race comes and greets you when you get warp capable, but when you get a certain level of artificial intelligence, a race comes and steps on you. So I'm like.
Thing that really bugged me was the vision where the android morphed into Data, and Rhonda, when she recognized Soji as the Destroyer, it would have been better, I think, to have Soji there instead of Data as far as that morph went.
Yeah, that makes more sense. But maybe she could tell that she was Data's offspring, therefore. It's kind of convoluted, but the way they're doing it, it sounds like an outside race comes and destroys you once you reach a certain threshold. So is that, I know Aaron hasn't played, and I definitely asked you, Stuart, either of you played Mass Effect. And the setup for Mass Effect is every 50,000 years, an alien race called the Reapers, who are basically all synthetic, come and collect all technology and wipe out all the sentient races, allowing the primitive races to evolve, create technology so they can come back again in 50,000 years to clean them out. This sounds like a very Mass Effect-y plot line they're putting into Star Trek, which is fine. Yeah. I love Mass Effect, but it's like, this is...
Yeah, I've heard Mass Effect mentioned so often when we're doing our reviews, and I'm like, I'm out of the loop because I haven't played it. So,
this is a very Mass Effect-y type storyline. But then again, they keep calling Soji the Destroyer, so is it not really an alien race?
Hello?
Couldn't they download it all of a sudden? I don't know what happened. You hello? Still there, buddy? You dropped out all of a sudden. I don't know.
Where'd you lose me?
I don't know.
You're talking about Mass Effect and.
Basically, just it sounds a lot like Mass Effect, and then I was saying how if it's not an alien race, then it's just going to be the AI downloading itself into Soji, so Soji can become the Destroyer, like Arium kind of was doing. Why couldn't it download itself into any Borg or any Arium-like person? You know what I mean? If it's just going to be a download thing, like Discovery was, and if it's not actually an alien race like the Reapers, I'm. Why couldn't it download itself into any other artificial intelligent hybrid being, like a Borg or an Arium or anything else?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's a lot of information to go into that. So I don't know how information is stored. How much you can actually do for that kind of stuff. So that's for the sphere data that the AI or the control was looking for and stuff. Seemed like a lot.
Yeah, it was. But I mean, the sphere had all the other information, not just artificial intelligence. In it, but who knows? I mean, it was good. I'm just wondering if they're going to go the Discovery angle where something's going to download into Soji and make her the Destroyer, or if it's actually going to be a physical alien race that comes out and steps on the Federation and the whole Alpha Quadrant does a whole Reaper thing like Mass Effect did.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how they do it.
They're definitely, like I said, for Discovery and for Picard, it does seem like, you know, first of all, they, like I said, Cloak and Dagger, we got the Section 31, and, you know, now we have, you know, Commodore O and Starfleet Security. I mean, who knows? I'm sure there's Section 31's at play somewhere there, too. And then issues with artificial intelligence, you know, so.
I'm honestly surprised Section 31 hasn't been mentioned yet.
I know.
Yeah, me too.
So
that's been the most surprising thing this whole season, that they haven't even said the name. I'm like, huh.
Yeah, I mean, but the Black Flag Directive, you know, that's something never heard before. So, I mean, it's another, like, kind of, like, underhanded Starfleet kind of thing. I guess that you always figure it's got it. Some stuff like that has to be around. I mean, what was the Omega Directive?
The Omega Directive, yeah.
I mean, destroy all information about the Omega particle, fuck everything else.
Right. I mean, obviously there's stuff like that that exists, but I don't know. It just seems so, I guess, it just seems so non-Starfleet, but I guess it is a little bit, so.
Well, I mean, it makes me feel better, I guess, that it's just Commodore O's got her fingers so deep into everything since she's head of Starfleet Security that her single-handedly has basically turned the Federation evil. So once you remove the tumor, hopefully the rest of it can come back.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that. She got her fingers so deep in Admiral Clancy.
Oh, they do that in between scissoring, you know.
Oh, wow.
All right.
That was the wrong way really quick.
Oh, I wasn't going there, but you kind of led me, so.
I'm sorry.
That's what I mean. Well, no matter what, I mean, maybe you are right. Maybe after you remove Commodore O. You know, I mean, obviously we had, even like with Undiscovered Country, we had like kind of like a coup going on within the Federation.
Yeah.
So we do see it.
It was also sponsored by the Klingons. So it's just like, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, every time you have outside foreign forces at work, which, you know, honestly happens a lot, even in our world. So I don't know. So, and then we obviously... Next episode, I'm assuming we're going to Soji's homeworld. So
it's a two-parter.
Yeah. Any thoughts of what you think we're going to see here?
Oh, well, I think the Romulans are going to show up, and shortly after that, a Borg cube. And then hopefully the squadron that Admiral Clancy has sent is going to actually figure out where the hell they are. Because
with the Enterprise F, hopefully.
It's going to end on a cliffhanger, and I guarantee you the Starfleet ship's going to come in, and it's going to be a hail, and it's going to be somebody we recognize, and it's going to be like, oh, and then it's going to be, oh, we got to wait for season two now.
Pretty much. It's going to end the exact same way Discovery season one ends. It's going to be the Enterprise, and it's going to be like, oh, no, something's happening, and then wait till season two, and that's going to make us all dying for it.
Yep, absolutely.
Even though the season just started to get good.
What do you think about Soji's homeworld? What do you think we're going to see?
See, that confuses me because, I mean, we got Beautiful Flower, we got Jana, whatever her name was. Yeah. So there's already other androids there, and I'm just curious as to how many, and why were they out in the ship, you know, scouting around? Like, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to find that Maddox actually found another race of androids that helped him build these ones, and I think, too, because we didn't see Beautiful Flower, who was a male android, that we're going to actually see Brent Spiner again in some form, and we're going to be like, what?
Interesting.
Because I think Maddox would have recreated Data to help him out.
Yeah.
That's my feeling. And even if he made him synth organic so he looks older, he basically granted his wish and made him more human as a kind of thank you for being my friend and sorry for almost getting, you know, messed up in Measure of a Man.
Right. Yeah.
It seems like Maddox was working separate from this planet because he said his lab got burnt down. I'm just confused how Maddox even fits in with this planet that's full of androids, apparently.
Maybe Maddox had this place that he found or he discovered and he used, you know, kind of thing, like a Dr. Corby from What Little Girls Are Made Of, or What Girls Are Made Of.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's like he found this old technology.
You spin them on a dial and they turn into a robot.
Yeah, there you go. Instant android.
Instant clone.
Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff. I'm actually excited to see what Soji's homeworld actually is like. So, very excited.
I kind of hope that these aliens just got finished purging the Andromeda galaxy. Because in Mud's Women we had the
I Mud,
where he's on the planet with all the androids from Andromeda. So I wonder if these aliens just stomped out Andromeda and they're just now getting back so they can stomp out this.
Or maybe we find out Mud's still alive and he's been like in hibernation for all these years.
Mud could still be alive. Remember the short trek where he's got the ship that just prints out copies of himself?
Yeah, I know.
Like, they could literally put Harry Mudd in season two of Star Trek Picard. It would make perfect sense because of the uncertainty of that short trek, we don't know if we ever dealt with the real Harry Mudd. So there could be Mudd androids just printing themselves constantly all the time into this era, which would be great.
It would be great to see Picard interact with Mudd.
That would be so great.
So lots of cool stuff to see what happens. But yeah, I generally liked Broken Pieces. I felt like it was like filling in all the spots it had to. I don't know. There was some of it I wish it moved a little faster, but I guess we had to like get all the backstory, especially with Rios and even Soji making her kind of understanding of everything and her coming to trust Picard more.
Yeah. So. I mean, they still don't understand pacing. Because, I mean, as much as I loved seeing all the androids in the holodeck and then, like, hitting their heads simultaneously and some really cute stuff they were doing, that scene was a little longer than it needed to be to get the points that they needed to get across.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part with this series is the pacing is just off sometimes.
I think we constantly criticize Discovery for not taking advantage of the online platform and making, because a lot of Discovery episodes were kind of short, like under 40 minutes or just like under 45. And Picard, because it is a shorter series, they are making the episodes longer, which I applaud them for, but they're not just
the last few. I mean, the first like five or six were around that 36, 40 minute mark.
The last couple have been like 54, 55 minutes long.
58. Yeah, exactly.
They've been using more time, but they're still like they still have this pacing issue where like, you know, making the episode longer isn't helping the pacing feel any better.
Yeah,
you gotta use the time wisely.
And I was saying before too is like I think that's a lot of these serialized shows, if it's Netflix or CBS All Access or even HBO, that a lot of times they drag out dialogue that don't have to be dragged out. I think it's a writing issue that all of them because they know they have all this time. Mm-hmm. And they have 50 minutes or 45 minutes to fill, and sometimes they just put fluff in there sometimes, or they drag out a scene interaction between them when it doesn't need to be that. But you know, whatever. It's just maybe people are just trying to get the pacing right, because if you get a show that's paced correctly, there's, you know, you can't wait for the next scene because there's putting in so much content. So
yeah, and I feel like the first like five and a half episodes of this show was like mostly fluff, and we're just finally starting to get the meat. So I'm excited, but I'm scared the next episodes are just going to be too much happening in too little time. But maybe they're, since they're making episodes longer, maybe it'll feel okay. I'm hoping so, but who knows?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
if they're both hour and a half long episodes, that'd be kind of epic, like a 3-hour movie finale.
Right, exactly.
Because 3 hours would be good enough time.
Yeah, I think they could do it.
Yeah, well people, yeah, 3 hours. I don't know, 3 hours is a long time. But I mean, next couple episodes, I mean, they got the two episodes. Yes, they could definitely go longer. So,
who knows? Yeah, I'm excited. I'm way more excited now than I have been, which is kind of weird because Discovery season two, I was way more excited at the beginning. Then I got like scareder and scareder, and this has been the exact opposite. I've been waiting for it to get good. Now it's finally good, and then I'm going to be sad it's over because it's just starting to be great.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see you in the next two episodes. Anything else? Last thoughts before we wrap this up?
Not specific.
Predictions? Feelings?
Predictions. I think the La Serena is going to get destroyed.
It looked like it was.
Yeah,
in the trailer.
Yeah, it didn't sort of look like it was blowing up. I didn't know if that was their ship or Narek, so.
You can tell it's the Listerina if you freeze frame it.
Well, I didn't do that, so.
I saw red, so I assumed it was Listerina because it's a red-looking ship. This is where we'll probably lose Rios, but somehow the holograms will be intact.
Or he has become a hologram.
Huh?
Or he himself will become another hologram.
Maybe.
Force ghost.
Yes, we've invented our own force ghosts with hookers and blackjack.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
Holograms. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, maybe all the parts will combine and become the one Rios hologram.
He's like
Transformers combiner.
Yeah, I was going to say that, or Voltron,
Wonder quadruplets. So. I mean, the Wonder septuplets.
Yeah, so that's that. I mean, obviously, that there's something there, and I like the Stuart's idea about the Borg cube coming in and kicking ass. And
God,
maybe
that would be great. I want to see him drive it.
Yeah, I honestly, it would be pretty sweet to see Seven come and kick ass with that. So
I do want to see like cybernetic, like liberated Borg Elnor, where he's like cybernetic, but he still like remembers everything. But he's like, but now he's got the Borg intelligence, so he's not such a doofus. Oh, that'd be great.
I don't know. I like Elnor because he's sort of like that typical, like, you know, the young person. Because it's always the young persons. They have everything in front of them. They have like they have all the energy and the, you know, the vibrance of youth, but they have no knowledge. So,
I mean, he lived with nuns his whole life. He's got no knowledge about anything except
you don't know anything.
He knows nothing.
You know nothing,
Elnor Snow.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. So it's pretty cool, and I'm excited to see what's happening here, especially how Bruce Maddox ties into this planet that they're at.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious about that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Stuart, why don't you just give our audience, if they don't already know, contact information for Trek Yards and what everything you do?
Well, we are a weekly, daily these days, YouTube web series where you focus on ships and tech mainly, but we've been doing episode reviews and stuff of all this great new content as well. So you can find us on YouTube. Just look up Trek Yards. Also, all of our social media. We're on Facebook. We got a great community on Facebook. And if you want to come and join and just share, you know, stuff about ships and the tech of Trek, we're the place to go. Like, we just love all that stuff. So.
Yeah, you guys got great content and
much content. It's so hard to keep up.
You guys break down all these ships and talk about it. I mean, obviously you've been doing discussing these new episodes too, but I mean, your ships are how you go and comb over all the details, which is sometimes like, you know, I don't even know where you get half your information because there's so much detail you have. So
it's a secret.
Yeah,
secret. Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
Yeah, so definitely check out their stuff. And if you don't know, what rock are you hiding under?
For the coronavirus rock.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. For us,
it's a mountain of toilet paper.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I know. For Synthaholics, yes, stay safe. For Synthaholics, please go to our webpage at synthaholics.com. You can join us at our Facebook page, Facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. You can also see, we have a YouTube page, not as popular as Shrek Yards, but we are there. So you can check us out on YouTube there.
Mostly our podcast, but there's some fun alcoholic drink episodes where I show you how to make fun drinks. Most of them are Star Trek themed.
Yes, awesome. It does. And you can follow us on Twitter, too. We are a Synthaholic Duo. And we do have now a new Instagram. There's only two pictures at the moment. But that's
you guys talked it up last week. I'm like, oh, I better post. But I think everyone's got access to it. So we should all start posting our pictures to our Instagram.
Yeah, I'll show it. Put all my dick pics in.
Oh, yeah. You got to put the little smiley face over the head, though. That way it'll get past the censor.
I know. I've seen them. They're that impressive. Don't share.
Yeah, I know. They're so small. yeah, go to the Instagram for great pictures that won't will not have my penis on there is Synthetic dot podcast, correct? That's the
yes.
nomenclature for that. And also, if you find the show valuable, please go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Synthetics, and you can throw some money our way that helps keep the show going. And as always, just a great way to support us, which is completely for free. You can share us on social media or just tell your friends, family, random workers that you work with, the guy delivering your refrigerator, let them know about Synthetics. So, you know, it's good stuff.
Tell the people in line at the supermarket.
Yeah, we're getting all the toilet paper.
Or if you're in those lines that are wrapping around the buildings when they open, you can listen to the show then.
Let people know. That's right. Just download the show before you take off and
spend in those long lines.
You have that 4-hour shopping hassle with the with this outbreak. So, yeah, and definitely people stay healthy. If you have to, stay home and listen to Trek Yards, listen to Synthetics, and you know, it's a great time to catch up on all your other content that you're trying to get into. So,
absolutely, stay safe, guys.
Stuart, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk with you and get your insights.
Thanks for having me again. I really love being with you guys. So
it's a lot of fun. All right, guys. Until next time, live long and prosper, one and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Awesome.
Yep.
Very good. Well,
thanks so much, Stuart. I really appreciate it. Always good talking with you, man.
Yeah.
I really hope the stuff clears up so we can get you over here. That'd be fun. Hang out in person for once.
I'm excited for it, so.
Yeah, we'll find out where we're all at, obviously. Everything's fluid at the moment. We don't know what's going to happen in the next month or so. They're closing down. They closed down the schools. They just closed down schools for like 5 days, so it's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, our kids have like 3 weeks of March break now because of this.
Yeah.
Spring break. Woo!
Spring break. All day. Well, actually, they are closing, but they are giving the kids like stuff to do at home. So they're going to be doing school at home. So
how many hookers and blow can you get for $100? Do the math.
I don't know what school you're sending your kids to, but I think you should change school districts. So
hey, you got to learn. Schools should teach you important life skills.
I do agree with that, but I don't know about hookers and blow.
I mean, come on, what else is there?
Blackjack.
Blackjack, hookers and blow. Gotcha.
Yeah.
If you use $100 in blackjack and you win $1,000.
How many hookers could you get?
How many hookers could you get? Exactly. Nice.
Now do the math on counting cards to get the $1,000 with that $100
you get. Now that's what you do, like that Rain Man shit. Yeah, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, we should be teaching people how to count cards, teaching people how to do their taxes. We'll be in a lot better spot.
Casinos. People
how to wash their hands and not freak out and get toilet paper when it doesn't affect your anus.
I know, absolutely. There's so
your
weird.
Anus, my anus.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely thanks so much for joining us.